Andrew. It was good. And, thank you, Maddie, for what you shared for the kids. And thank you to everyone who was praying for me this week. I had a little surgery, and everything's been going well, but I definitely appreciated the prayers, as there was a few specific things that I was looking for the Lord to help, and it was really good to see the Lord reduce my cough and help with the recovery, so I'm very thankful for that. I just wanted to share a few verses quickly on the topic of hope, so you can turn to Romans chapter 15. It says in Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." And I was just reflecting on hope and hopelessness this morning, and just sort of thinking about some situations that had kind of encouraged me and built some hope in me recently. And I was just, this is more of a personal reflection, but I think you could probably, there's not scriptures that directly tie to it, but I think if you've experienced it, you can acknowledge it, that like in our walk, one of the most important things to maintain and abide in is a soft heart. And it's a phrase that scripture doesn't specifically define. Jesus warned about a hard heart. He warned in the context primarily with his disciples, it was unbelief that was giving them hard hearts. And that was a real concern to Jesus. He was very concerned when his disciples had hard hearts. And in Hebrews, it talks about the deceitfulness of sin that can harden us. None of us should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I was thinking another thing that hardens our heart is hopelessness. If we don't have hope, our hearts become very hard. I just looked up a quick definition of hopeless, and hopeless, it's probably obvious to most, but hopeless means having no expectation that something will improve or succeed. So if we are hopeless or we are without hope, we don't think anything is going to improve or get better or succeed. And if we have hope, it's the exact opposite. If we have hope, we believe that there will be improvement, that there will be a fulfillment of promises. We believe that what we're experiencing today, things which we may see with our eyes and experience in our emotions and lives, aren't going to necessarily stay that way. And in some cases, I can say unequivocally, they will change. If we look at the promises of Scripture around overcoming sin, over having new bodies, being redeemed when Christ comes again, these are some of the things that we are to have hope in. And these are the things that if we have hope, we have an expectation. We believe them. We anticipate them coming, even though we may not be experiencing them or experiencing them not in their fullest measure right now. And so for me, what I was reflecting on, I was just thinking this morning about how these things that encouraged me and brought me some and built my hope, built my faith, and faith is different than hope, but they work together, built my hope. Actually, all of a sudden, I was experiencing, like, this is why I say, I wouldn't say there was a direct scripture on it, but I was just experiencing my heart, I could sense, was soft. It was like the Lord was able to speak and encourage me, and just, I don't know how to describe it perfectly, but having hope is a way that our hearts can remain soft before the Lord. And it's something that we need to look to. It's not something we can just, and it's not, and then I'll say, so how do we have hope? Where does hope come from? Well, I just read a verse that tells us something about that, but I'll just expound on it a little bit. There's two ways in Romans 15, verse 4, that we can have hope. And I can say another one is what Andrew has already shared. We can spur one another's hope on. We can encourage one another through experience, through testimony, through sharing verses, through different means. We can build hope in one another. We can encourage and inspire hope in one another. And it can sound almost like a self-help or like a gospel that's kind of a worldly thing when you use words like inspiration. But if we're inspiring people to the hope of the scriptures and the promises of scripture, that is an excellent way to inspire people. Coaches need to inspire teams to believe they can win. That's one of the key jobs of a coach, is to inspire teams to believe that they can win. I was watching a little bit of a football game yesterday, and I didn't watch much of it, but I was sort of catching the end, and it was not going the way I'd hoped. The team I was cheering for was losing, and they played horrible. They did bad all game. But the coach, I just saw the one coach on defense, and their defense was suffering. He was engaged right to the end. He, even though there was very little time left, I just noticed it on, like, there was nothing in his physical demeanor. Maybe he was hiding it, but everything about him showed full engagement. He was still fully focused on trying to win that game, even though it seemed hopeless and they ended up losing. Well, how much more in the gospel? Because that's just a game. They're gonna lose and whatever. You move on, and it's not a big deal in this grand scheme of things. But in the gospel, we do need to have that hope to the very end. And the words here are perseverance and the encouragement of scripture. So I guess what I was first touching on there is perseverance. One way that we can have hope is through perseverance. And I remember we had a Bible study, I think in Andrew and Laurel's, probably a month or so ago or 2 months ago. And somebody asked a question about having hope. And this word perseverance is what came to mind for me. And it wasn't because of this scripture. It was because of my own experience. I can just was looking back over the sort of the 20 years plus that the Lord has been working in my life in a real meaningful way. And there was some low times. There was some very low periods in the midst of that 20 years, particularly I would say more at the start, where I wasn't grounded and rooted in some of the truths that the scripture and some of the doctrine that I now are more real in my life. So in those early days, there was times where I'll admit it, I was discouraged, just battling discouragement day and this. There'd be periods of better and periods where it would be low, and just fighting through that. And I reflected, and I had to. The question was like, how do we come out of these things? And the thing for me was actually perseverance. It wasn't like all of a sudden there was a scripture that brought me out of it. All I could say is that I just, by the grace of God, didn't give up. I just kept persevering with a mustard seed or just the tiniest little bit of hope that it could get better. That this discouragement and the things that were tripping me up and making this path so difficult weren't going to remain in my life. And I can say now, decades later, that it happened. Those things, that discouragement, that self-pity that I could not seem to get the victory over for years, God has brought the victory. Praise the Lord. And I don't say that to boast, because I couldn't even particularly, there's truths and different things I could share with you, but I couldn't specifically say how it happened, other than the God who gave me perseverance to keep going and not give up. And not turn to the world, not turn to my flesh, not turn to selfishness and the different temptations that come when they're in the midst of it. But through perseverance, the victory came. And through perseverance, I have hope that it can happen again. That when difficulties come, when situations are not as I would desire, God can bring about a change. So in the midst of it, and I would describe perseverance in this way. Perseverance is pressing ahead when our emotions and our will and different things are contrary to it. When we feel like there's not, it's not necessarily like our mind, we may be hearing in our head the hopeless lies that say nothing is going to change, it's going to stay the same, it's been this way for so long, it's not going to change. Perseverance says, no, I'm going to keep going. I am not going to turn down the path that this hopelessness and these lies the enemy want me to take. But rather, I'm going to continue on the path that God wants me on. As ugly as it may look right now, I may not be the brother or sister out there able to offer much to others right now because I am in the midst of this despair and the slew of despair, but I am going to keep going on God's path as much as I can by his help and not turn to the other path, and I'm going to persevere in that way. And in that, hope can come. Hope does come. It will come, because that's what the scripture says, that through perseverance we can have hope. It's here. And I'm just going to read one other verse really quick on this. Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 24, it's also talking about hope. In this case, it's talking about the redemption of our bodies. But it applies more broadly. In Romans 8, verse 24, it says, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? So hope is always going to be looking ahead to something we have not realized yet, to the promises of God's word, to the change, to the deliverance, to the redemption, to all the scripture promises us. We're going to be looking ahead to something we have not seen with our eyes yet. It has not been realized. Like even now, I can tell you that the fact that God brought me out of that discouragement and depression that and the battles that I'd had for many years, that now has been realized. So I don't hope now that I come out, because I'm out. But that experience also gives me hope that as I experience new challenges, if I look at the current areas where God is shining his light and wanting to change me, and where I realize I need to be changed further, I don't want to remain the way that I am. That's where I have hope, because I don't see it yet with my eyes. I realize I need to be changed further. Or in situations with maybe relationships or in our children, our homes, or different things, we can have hope in what we don't yet see. That is hope. It's believing that something can happen that we don't see yet. That's what it says here. And it's mixed with faith, because faith also is a conviction for things not seen. They work together. But hope is a little bit more of a view to the objective, a view to what we're, by faith, seeing ahead of us and believing in, even though it hasn't been realized yet. But if you read verse 25, that's where I wanted to get to. But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So again, hope and perseverance are mixed together. And I can tell you from our emotions and our I don't want to call it our flesh, but our own sort of experience, like just our natural way that God has made us, our emotions are actually contrary to this. When you're in the midst of a battle, our emotions, and in some cases even our will, are pressing against this, because they go by what we're experiencing now, what we feel now, like the present. Whereas hope and the scriptures are actually encouraging us to persevere against that, to push contrary to our emotions, to push contrary to what we're experiencing, because in that there can be hope. And it may feel extremely difficult at the time, where we're not actually experiencing some of that encouragement, or it can just be just a choice of our will to continue to persevere in the direction that we know God wants us to go. But the scripture says that if we do that, God can build hope out of that. And we don't want to look and focus on what we're experiencing in the present. We want to focus on what the scripture instructs us to do and follow that. So I'll just wrap up here quickly. Go back to Romans chapter 15. So it says also the other thing that here, so I focused all on perseverance so far. The second part is the encouragement of scriptures, that we might have hope. The encouragement of scriptures are intended to build hope in us. And it's through multiple ways that that can happen. There's tons. The Holy Spirit can bring things to mind for each of you as to how this works. But the couple that I can think of is, one, we have the promises in Scripture. The promise that says that sin shall not be master over us is a wonderful verse to give us hope when we're battling through, when we're fighting through the things that want to discourage us and bring us into despair and rob our hope, make us feel hopeless. The scripture says no. I'll just use a personal example, not that it's entirely necessary, but I look at myself and I still see, what is it? I still see that in my life, an area where I need God to change me more and more is with my tongue. My tongue, speaking sharp words, angry words. I still, I'm serving the Lord for 20 years, but I need to be changed further in this area. And in 2026, I want to be changed further in this area. And so what do? Do I lose hope when I stumble? When I see that I said something and immediately after I was like, man, that did not help the situation. I regret saying that. Do I lose hope and say, this is just how I'm going to be? Or do I go to the scriptures that says, no, God promises us that sin shall not be master over us. There's a promise in James that says that, you know what? God can tame the tongue. Man cannot, but God can tame the tongue. That's what it says in James. It says it in the form of a warning, saying it needs to happen, but it's also a promise. It's a promise that God can tame our tongue. So through the encouragement of Scripture, I can say, you know what? I'm going to repent. I wish I hadn't said that. I may have to apologize to someone, but I'm also going to believe and have hope that as I persevere and as I'm willing to believe the Scripture, that the change can come. Another way that the scriptures can encourage us and give us hope is when we find ourselves in them. When we find, and what I mean by that is if you look at the context right before this, it was talking about bearing with one another, about not just seeking to please ourselves, but please our neighbors. And then it quotes a psalm. It says, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. That's verse 3, right before this. And in that context, it was talking about Christ, how he, the very reproach that man had against God fell on Christ. But it can also, and it was talking about how Christ did not choose to please himself, but he was willing to accept and wear that reproach, which was actually man's reproach against God. But in that, we can take the broader context here. How is that encouragement of, like when you read this here, and then it immediately goes to say that the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. It was because through knowing the scriptures, you can see how Christ was in them. Like he was found within the promises and it was in that case it was a prophecy that was actually occurring in his life. And as we choose to study and read and believe the scriptures, there are times where our own experience, the Holy Spirit can bring it to mind and show us, like, this is it. This is what you're experiencing right now. And with God's help, he can work through it and bring something out of it. And I know I'm not being perfectly clear in this, but that's another way we can get encouragement in the scriptures. As you read through the Psalms and read examples where David is like struggling. He's like, everyone's against me. I'm in the deeps, God. Your waves are crashing over me. I'm feeling buried by my experience, God. But you know what? Deep calls out to deep. Deep calls out to deep at this time. And God, you can help me in the midst of this. And I think any of us who are sincere in our walk can say there's times where we've been in the depths and the waves have been crashing over us. But then we can find ourselves in that place and also find ourselves then in the scripture and say, God, I'm here. I'm experiencing this. But that also says in the Psalms and in those same contexts, David, very often, I'm not going to turn to that exact one, but he says, my soul, like, hope in God, believe in him, for he shall yet save us. He shall yet save me. That's what I mean when I say you can, through the scriptures, you can find yourself in there. You can say, like, yes, I'm going to take that and make it mine right now because I'm experiencing it. And I'm also going to believe for the deliverance that is promised, that is coming, even though at this moment, it just feels like the waves are crashing over me. That's another way that the scriptures can give us encouragement. And then we can just encourage one another through our own experiences and the ways that scriptures have been real to us. And they can, through that, build hope. And then in verse 5, it says, just I'll wrap up here, but it says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. So in here, it's also saying these things don't have to come from us. It says we serve a God who gives perseverance. So we can ask for that. We can ask for that. When we're feeling that everything is pushing us to go the direction of hopelessness, everything is pushing us and encouraging us to give up and just feed our flesh and become discouraged and live in self-pity or whatever the temptations are. I'm sharing a few of my own. When those temptations come, we can ask God and say, God, help me to have perseverance, to continue to press against this, to continue to walk the narrow path, to continue to push against my own emotions and my own will, to persevere, that your hope may be built in my life, that I might become one who can look on a situation and have hope. It's like a muscle. It's a muscle that can grow. Faith can grow. Our faith can be strengthened. Love can grow. It can be strengthened. Hope can grow. It is a muscle that can be worked out and strengthened through perseverance, such that situations that would have robbed us and taken the rug out from underneath us and made us feel hopeless in the past, because the muscle has been built and growing, those same situations don't necessarily do it to us in the future, because God is building something in us. He's building this muscle of hope through perseverance and through the encouragement of scriptures, that we don't have to end up in that same place. And I can also say that as we get stronger in this, we can be an encouragement and build hope in others because of what God's done for us. And in this, I'll just go to verse 13 real quickly. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the root, the source, where the spring comes from for hope is the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we have hope, when we've realized it in some measure through applying these scriptures and believing them, when the hope comes, it's not something that we've done ourselves. Even though it talks about perseverance, the perseverance is just part of the way that God has done it and designed it in our walk. But ultimately, the hope comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where hope comes from. And also, I would say that we can ask for hope. These scriptures don't specifically say that, but I was thinking that if the power of the Holy Spirit can give us hope, that we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we feel it's lacking, let's ask for it. Let's pray for it. Let's say, God, I am lacking hope. I feel hopeless in this situation. God, give me hope. I'm willing to persevere, God, by your help. I'm willing to persevere. I'm willing to read your scriptures and seek encouragement in your scriptures. But God, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit's power to fill me with hope, to help me abound in hope. God, you have to do it, because of myself, it's hopeless. But your Holy Spirit is able, has the power to have each one of us abound in hope, so that it's overflowing in our lives. That's what it says. And it says there'll be joy and peace in believing, because the God of hope can fill us with these things. It says the God of hope can fill us with joy and peace in believing. So these are some wonderful promises. For myself, I just read these, and I want them to be, like, it's easy to sit up here and read them, and you can even see them and read the words and kind of say, yeah, like, these are very encouraging, inspiring scriptures. But what we need is, when the reality comes, when the difficulties come, when our emotions are pushing, when our circumstances are pushing us to be hopeless, that's when we need to cling to these things. That's when these things need to become real and say, God, I'm going to persevere in this situation with your help, because your scripture says that is the path to hope. I'm going to seek to encourage myself in scriptures or through fellowship with others, because that, it says, is the path to hope. And I'm going to ask you to fill me with hope through the power of your Holy Spirit, because that's what the word says, where it can come from. And I know you're a good father, and you want to do these things for each one of your children.